gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here, everybody, settle. Six. We don't rehearse this. We're going to say some funny things in a second. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As I was saying to Jackie at the top of the hour, we're going to have Jackie back in for a coffee clutch.
Yeah.
Because this just gets better and better.
Wow.
Sort of the gossipy girly side of me comes out. This Petraeus scandal is spectacular. I have to say. Oh, this was from the LA Times this morning.
Yeah. Here.
Jill Kelly, who may be my new favorite, she's one of the hot twins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, at the center of this whole thing, the unpaid social liaison.
Yeah.
Hello. Who has some sort of card that says she has diplomatic immunity?
Honorary diplomatic immunity. Which
honorary
is different.
Ambassador to...
Which means nothing, pretty much.
Okay.
It's honorary.
Yes.
Doesn't really
Hello.
Count.
I am the honorary ambassador to the land of delusions of grandeur.
What do you think of that?
What do you think of me now?
I love my wife.
Okay, so Jill Kelly tried to negotiate a South Korean coal project earlier this year using her Petraeus ties, but the deal fell apart when she asked for an $80 million fee.
Yes. She was told the usual fee for this is $1
million.
$1 million. Here's my invoice.
$1
million.
$800 million.
Did I say million? I meant billion.
I'm supposed to invoice Current for a couple of things. I think I'm going to try that.
$80 million? Yeah.
Here's my invoice.
You're going to be the $80 million light fixture.
I'll see if that one slips through. Oh God. Anyway, then we'll get to the whole Gawker thing. They did a pretty good synopsis. Petraeus's pal, Jill Kelly, loaned $800,000 to her quote-unquote unstable twin sister.
Yeah.
Unstable according to a, you know, judge or whatever.
Well, wouldn't they be equally unstable if they're...
Not necessarily.
Okay. Let me Gawker recap the fun facts. We'll get to all this in a second. We've got to get to Right Wing World, which I'm in.
You are in it. You're a part of Right Wing World today.
Wow. Today's really exciting, and we have a really good beaver bite.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a beaver sound bite. It's a very exciting day. To recap, the CIA director and commanding officer in Afghanistan were both closely involved with a pair of twin Lebanese sisters, one of whom was a self-appointed diplomatic official who hosted lavish parties for American military officers and loaned six-figure sums to family members while defaulting on her own debt payments and running fake charities, the other of whom accumulated millions in debt, allegedly lied to state and federal courts, and was described by a judge as unstable.
Yeah.
Spectacular, the D.C. Kardashians.
No wonder the fee was $80 million. She needed to recoup a lot of money.
Do you know how much money I've lost on bet? No, never mind that.
No, this is just too much fun. All right, so yeah, I started to get the emails. I'm like, oh, my friend Sean Hannity must have said something nice about me.
Computer says no.
No.
Did I land in his segment again about left-wing hate speech?
Left-wing hate speech. He had Brian Mulroney on to talk about left-wing hate speech.
Awesome.
Yeah. Failed talk show host Brian Mulroney.
Awesome.
Wow.
All right. Let's get to it. Carl Frischa is off today. His buddy Eric Burns from Bullfight Strategies joins us. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Please give me the respect to why I'm entitled for someone that is in Right Wing World today and also co-hosting it with you.
Yeah, I feel for you, but Stephanie, I got to tell you, as I am stuck, because you know I'm stuck with Carl and Right Wing World all the time.
Right.
That's right.
we live in this strange land, and you know I'm really troubled. I'm really questioning the judgment of Bobby Jindal's team after attacking Mitt Romney yesterday. I mean, you know what he said was all fine and good, but have these guys not figured out that the Republican base don't like a person of color telling them what to do?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get to all that later. So much to talk about today, Eric, and we thought all the news was over after the election.
I know,
but yeah,
right?
Mitt Romney, wow. What if you thought he was a douche during the campaign? I mean, this tells you that, when he tried to take back the 47% comments, he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
He doubled down on it. It's like, people only voted for Obama because he gave him free stuff. There is no difference now, Eric, between the presidential candidate on the Republican side and Rush Limbaugh. That's what Rush Limbaugh said the next show. You can't beat Santa Claus.
And when you have Bobby Jindal smacking you down saying, hey, Mitt Romney, stop dividing America,
right.
That's a problem.
Yeah, well, I know, especially after like the 2004-2006 State of the Union, you know, response where he was like Kenneth the Page from The Office. I mean, who thought he had it in him? You know,
in the immortal words of Chris Matthews.
Oh God.
Just very close to Oh Sweet Jesus.
Almost a Sweet Jesus moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Sweet Jesus.
God, I mean, I don't even know where to start. We'll get to it. See, now you've got me sidetracked on the Mitt Romney. I haven't gotten to that yet. But, I mean, it just how... It just sore losery, ungracious, unclassy. It's just... And incorrect. Like, what is he talking about? Yeah. No one's getting free health care.
Right.
No one's getting...
President Obama reached out to Mitt Romney yesterday saying, hey, you know, he might have some great experience that we could draw upon.
Yeah.
And since
when has any winning presidential candidate ever said that about it? I mean, it was so gracious and classy and just, I know.
But the concern is that Romney looks so stupid, he's going to make Obama look stupid.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to start questioning Obama, being like, really? You really want to invite this guy to the White House now?
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. As you know, having failed at their campaign of trying to convince America that the president is an angry, hateful man, now they're going to focus on left-wing hate radio.
That's right.
Starring me.
Yay.
Going to pull back the curtain on left-leaning, hateful rhetoric that is flooding the airwaves, courtesy of liberal talk radio.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Stephanie Miller.
Retweet Richard Murdoch, who says pregnancy from rape is God's will, and got $5,000 from Paul Ryan's pack. How about that? That's the problem.
Wow.
That's the problem, John, is it's not just one guy. They have become the rapey party.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Yeah. Did you see Mitt start to sweat like a whore in church?
Yeah.
The debate went on, yes.
Yeah.
He was trying to sound like some weird hybrid hippie with all this blathering about peace, love, and friendship.
Rapey party, sweating like a whore in church. About Mitt Romney?
That's hate speech?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
I mean, it's a smear movement, basically. And I think conservatives have had this wrong for a long time, because what they've said, Sean, is that, well, we can ignore these guys because they don't have any ratings. Nobody's listening.
Mm.
The truth is, though, is that they've really been able to get their message out a lot more than we ever thought, and I think Election Day showed that.
Uh-oh.
So to ignore these people is a major, major mistake.
Yeah.
Forget their ratings. Pay attention to what they're saying. Because oftentimes what you hear on these shows ends up on the smear left websites, et cetera.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, so there's no reason to just disregard this and say, well, they don't have enough people listening.
Yeah. Ooh, better start shutting.
That smear left website's got to be the most boring smear website I think I've given.
Exactly. Yeah.
Better start shutting those left-wing stations down, I guess. Okay, let's not get to that. Anyway, I think some people have started to notice the election results. Eric, I mean, this is
finally.
Yeah.
Like, what, you mean this morning, Stephanie, they started to notice?
By the way, Jim said we should, I should try a different analogy next time.
Yeah, he's sweating like Hermann Göring being prosecuted by Bill Miller.
Yeah, being interrogated by my dad.
Yeah.
Or you were saying or some other Nazi reference. I don't know.
Well, they're okay with that, though. See, that's where we get it wrong.
Yeah. Well, was Mitt Romney not, in fact, did everyone not comment on how he was sweating in that one debate?
He was a sweaty SOB.
Right. And I'm just saying it's a common term. It's a common term, like a whore in church. I wasn't calling him a whore.
Although they don't understand that.
I see horse sweat in churches at least once or twice a year.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Sean. Thanks for the pub. Appreciate it. All right, let's move on. Bill O'Reilly and Jesse Waters?
Yes.
Okay.
His supporters, the president's supporters, really don't know much.
No, they're zombies, and they hear these talking points about a balanced approach. I think President Obama could destroy the economy, but as long as there's Obamacare, gay marriage, and abortion on demand, they're going to support the guy no matter what.
Yeah.
Mm.
So there.
Totally, dude.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. I know, right?
It's the left-wing zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Did he actually order a pizza to the show? Like, Chipotle style?
Mr. Like... Hand. More about Cuba eating some food.
Oh, man. All right, you can clown on Glenn Beck for a good conspiracy theory on the Petraeus scandal. Are you ready?
God.
Here we go.
Let's begin over here with the sex scandal.
Uh-oh.
We told you yesterday.
Was there
a chalkboard? This is a setup.
Yes.
Wait, I'm telling you.
There was.
This Jill character, there's something wrong with her. She's got $2 million in debt.
Uh-huh.
She's in and out of court all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure point. Same with the general. General Petraeus, remember? That's what the left used to call him. Mm. Now he was put up to head up the CIA? Really? Of course. They have a pressure point. And now he's being discredited.
Huh?
And this whole scandal is doing what? How's your opinion of the military? Discredit the last standing honorable American institution we have, the military.
So Obama is using Jill Kelly to discredit the military.
Right, because he hates America since kindergarten, and he's trying to downsize America. And
it's what those Kenyan Muslims do.
He was hanging out with Angela Lansbury when he was young, as we all know. As Glenn Beck has told us in previous chalkboard lessons.
Right.
These guys are unbelievable.
Benghazi sounds like Nazi.
By the way, here's a little here's a little left wing.
See, it's so clear, isn't it?
Here's a little left wing hate radio fun fact for you. You know, on my San Francisco station, they replaced me in the morning with Glenn Beck.
Yep.
And his ratings are about one tenth of what mine were. Re-airs in the evening now. But see,
Stephanie, I'm so sorry. I thought we got rid of Glenn Beck. Were we at Media Matters? I really thought he was done. We were like, okay, this guy's gone, down the toilet. But you know.
Apparently, people don't really want to listen to that as much as entertaining as that was about the whole, you know, apparently the president controls everything, including General Petraeus' penis. So, wow. It's quite the conspiracy.
They went off the deep end yesterday.
Okie dokie. All right, Eric, you just wait there. We'll be right back with more Right Wing World. 18 minutes after the hour, more Right Wing World with Eric Burns next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the... Well, thank you. Thank you for handling me. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Burns from Bullfight Strategy rejoins us for Right Wing World. I'm still stewing over my Sean Hannity thing.
Uh-oh, why?
No, I'm laughing over it because he said that I called them the rapey Republican Party.
Yeah.
And guess why the Republicans lost the women's vote so hugely? Because they're the rapey party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of all the rape comments they made.
Because there are a lot of rapey Republicans.
Just because you say it with snap doesn't mean it's not true, Stephanie. That's just fun.
It's because when I comment on a Republican saying something inappropriate about rape, that's me doing hate radio.
Yeah, right.
See how that is?
Yes. Yeah. No. That's exactly how it works. That's exactly how it works. But yeah, can I just add this one thing. I really think that today, Stephanie, that today is going to be Karl Rove's big comeback moment. I mean, you know, he and Ailes. You know, if you think about it, look, why get trounced by Obama in 2012? When you can just keep running against John Kerry in 2004.
Yes,
which
I've
is
going to
be the new strategy. You know, I mean, it's all over Fox this morning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, they know how it ends. It's like, you know, it's like old Biff getting into the Back to the Future car. You know, it's something else, man.
Yeah. They are literally running the old Swift boat ads against John Kerry because he's rumored to be for Secretary of Defense, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
McCain wants Watergate hearings, and Conservative Majority Fund is now launching robocalls to gin up support for impeachment.
Yeah, and now that Joe Lieberman's leaving office, guess what he did yesterday? He actually went to the classified briefing rather than holding a press conference like his old pal John McCain.
Yeah.
And he said the hearings are not required because he actually went to the briefing to find out what the truth is rather than grandstanding, the increasingly bitter elf John McCain.
Yes.
All right, let's Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends.
Bill Kristol had sources in the testimony that Petraeus gave on September the 14th, and apparently Mr. Petraeus said, do you want the official line or do you want the real truth?
Senator McCain might have more on that.
Absolutely, but to some it does look like, you know, was he just going along? Was he doing this is in the interest of national security? Or was he, and some feel this, was he being blackmailed by the White House to toe the company line?
Oh, my God. Really?
Wow.
We're in some say territory.
Yep.
Yeah, some say Petraeus said this to somebody at some point, right?
Yes, and then blackmail.
Yes, clearly. Wow. Okay, well, do we have any idea when he's testifying?
We do not. Not yet.
We'll find out. Okay. Greg Gutfield on the 5.
America voted for it. This is what you got. The great thing about leftism is that their success is based on tricking people that it isn't leftism. And it isn't until after the person's in office that they're locking up areas that contain, what, 1.5 trillion barrels of recoverable oil?
Oh, come on.
I think we should lock up the golf courses. If we can't drill, Obama can't drive.
You know, you guys realize those barrels of oil that are locked up, they're in the hidden FEMA camp trailer.
Right.
That Beck used to talk about.
Yes.
Of course they are. It's so obvious now.
Yep. Okay, then. Wow.
Talk about projection.
By the way, this is a president who pretty much did everything he ran on the last time. Pretty much did everything he said he was going to do. So, this is the whole premise. We'll see if Dinesh D'Souza is right. This is his secret plan. The second term is going to be wow.
Yeah.
No, look, it's shaping up in the week. We're just into week two, and you know, it's shaping up to be brutal. I mean, I think that they've turned back on the full engines. You know. Right. So
and already he's being tricky. He's, trying to do exactly what he ran on, which the rich pay a little bit more. See how he is?
Huh.
Something he never brought up before. Okay, Bill O'Reilly to finish.
Do the atheists in Wisconsin realize they're going to hell? Did you ask them that?
We didn't.
No, you didn't. You didn't do it.
It was a good conversation.
It's a Christmas season. Maybe we don't bring that up until January.
Okay, and he refers to just the president winning Wisconsin? Or?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. In general. Well, he's talking about the Satanists in Madison in particular, but just generally the atheists in Wisconsin, guess.
All those Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That was sort of a raucous right-wing world, wasn't it, Eric?
It was. Welcome to America, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
You picked a hell of a day to join us the right-wing world, Eric.
Wow. Well, it was my pleasure, my honor, as always. But no, I've heard you guys didn't play my song, I got to say. I'm just...
Do we have a jingle for you?
I know. Every time. This is you and I are having, like, a who's on first conversation now, Stephanie. No, you know what?
Who's it born to be
I
wild?
I only get it when I come in the studio.
I'll have to look through our archives. All right, Eric. We apologize, Mr. Burns.
All right. It's all right.
Love you. See you next
time.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. There he goes. Eric Burns, Bullfight Strategy. I don't think we have a jingle.
I don't think we
do. I could be wrong.
Either.
More importantly, Britain, this is very exciting. Since we're back to beaver stack nonsense, the election's over, I found it. The ultimate beaver stack soundbite, the late great crocodile hire uttered the greatest sentence that have ever escaped his lips. I had to capture it, so I actually waited for the next time they aired the episode so I could have my recording stuff ready at just the right time. Wow. Our listeners have the most free time of anyone in the world, and here it is. Enjoy.
This beaver would have a big enough bite to remove a rather large section of my bone.
Oh,
you were right, Brent. That was
perfect.
Wow. I don't care how long you had to wait to get that. Thank you, Britton.
Yeah, it was Steve Irwin.
That was Steve Irwin.
We'll have to hear that again after. Okay.
Like
29
Steve
minutes
Irwin.
To the hour.
Bit by a beaver.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
While other people were out living their lives, I wasted mine watching TV. Because deep down, I knew it might one day help
Stephanie Miller
save the world.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Representative Paul Tonko coming up next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Carol in Dubois, Pennsylvania. Hey, Carol, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I want to say this real quick before what I want to talk about. Mitt Romney should wear a sheet with his eyes cut out when he makes a speech, but that's not why I called. Current TV has a wonderful documentary on the Koch brothers.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
And everybody must watch this. It's so good. And it shows how their tentacles reach out even to school boards, and they're targeting the South. They're against Medicare. They're for segregation. They are for something, and it's
right,
called segregation.
Carol, let's take a moment to chuckle warmly over how much money they lost in this election cycle. Okay, go ahead.
But they're starting already for the next election.
Of course
they Congress.
Are.
We have to get them people out of the Congress.
Yeah, I agree.
And they have money everywhere.
Yep.
And they're everywhere.
Yep.
What are we going to do?
Well, you know, obviously it didn't work in this cycle, which is the good news. I mean, honestly, with Citizens United and all that, that makes this even more stunning, this victory this time around. It gives me hope.
Yeah.
That you know, you can't. We learned that out here. I've said before with Meg Whitman, they learned in Connecticut with Linda McMahon. Mm-hmm. They certainly learned with Mitt Romney. I love on the call to donors where Mitt Romney's giving his excuses. He's like, well, we have to, you know, get our plan together so we can pick a nominee next time, which, by the way, won't be me. Ooh, that must have really disappointed the folks on
the
call. Yikes. Really, Mitt? Come on.
Buck up, little fella.
Say it with me. Let's do it again. Romney Ryan.
Romney Ryan.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Okay. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh,
thank God, that whole campaign. As it turns out, Joe Scarborough had it right.
Yeah.
It's the coda for the whole campaign.
The empty chair was the best part of the campaign. That was the high point.
All right. In the words of the immortal Steve Irwin.
This beaver would have a big enough bite to remove a rather large section of my bone.
Okay. And now back to the Petraeus sex scandal.
Wow. Yeah.
We have no information that the large part of his bone is being removed.
No. That is the single greatest audio beaver stack ever.
Thank you. Wow.
That is... Oh, that is stunning in its simplicity. even the headlines are fun, Jim. A single spiteful email unlocks Pandora's box.
Oh.
It started in May with a spiteful email to the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan. An anonymous writer warned General John Allen, a friend with whom he was meeting in Washington the following week, was trouble, and he should stay away from her. This is so high school.
Wow.
Know what? Allen thought the email was a joke because he didn't know anyone else would know about his personal plans with his friend, Florida socialite Jill Kelly, who is fast becoming my favorite character in this whole thing. A person close to Kelly said that email started a chain of events that led to the downfall of the CIA director David Petraeus, put Allen's career on hold, and landed a decorated FBI agent in hot water for talking about an ongoing investigation. Shirtless. The FBI traced that email and others of a similar vein to Paula Broadwell. I just even love the way these stories are written. Petraeus' biographer, who Aitchens would soon learn, had also been his lover.
Lover!
Jackies!
Okay, so... All right, so putting this all together. David Petraeus has agreed to testify during a closed-door session of Congress to answer questions about, obviously, Benghazi, but he will also likely be asked about these new revelations that his lover... His former lover, Paula Broadwell.
His good thing.
His thing, right.
His boo. His boo, yes.
I hope somebody uses those terms in the congressional hearing. Now, General, your thing.
Your boo.
Paula is suspected of storing classified military material at her home. I don't know, like
as
a,
you do.
Like a squirrel with nuts.
Yeah.
Maybe for the winter. She's just storing it for the winter. I don't really know.
Classified material burns really well in the
fireplace. My BFF is here to hang over the back fence. Grab your coffee. Hi, Jackie.
Gossip.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we've been reviewing everything we know, which, again, my personal favorite, what the LA Times is reporting this morning, that Jill Kelly, with her fancy card she made at Kinko's, saying she's an honorary something. What? I love that.
Honorary diplomat?
I love that 911 call. Can't you do something? I'm an honorary...
Thing.
I read yesterday there were multiple 911 calls.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, but this is not the only time that she tried to pull that.
Oh, my. What was I going to say? Oh, see, cause we're used to that in Hollywood, like B-celebrity douches that pull the don't you know who I am? Can I cut this line?
Oh, we know a few of those.
So anyway, she tried to negotiate a South Korean coal deal, as you do.
Sure.
Jackie was just doing that this morning before the newscast, and it fell apart when she asked for an $80 million fee.
Did I say $800 million?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's $1 billion.
And were there any sharks? Did she request any sharks at all?
With
no?
Laser beams?
You know, I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Now, Jackie, what? Why? So Broadwell admitted to the FBI she took documents from secure government buildings. What? Why would one take classified material home, one wonders?
If you're Fawn Hall... Maybe you're
I don't
covering
know,
for your boyfriend.
Because the Real Housewives are in reruns and they have nothing to do.
Well, see, now they're determining whether to charge her with a crime. She's cooperating with the case. It's complicated by the fact that as an intelligence officer in the U.S. military reserve, she had security clearance to review the documents.
Right.
And I think Petraeus is saying they didn't come from him, right?
So yeah, she had clearance to review them, but I don't think she had clearance to take them home.
Yes. There's that.
So she breached some sort of protocol when she decided to take them for some light weekend reading.
They followed me home. Can I keep them?
Yeah.
Let's see. Vanity Fair. Oh, classified material. How did that get in here? Oh, no. Wow.
But she is a military officer, and she did have clearance for some of that sort of thing. So,
yeah, the question is, where did they come from, and how did they get into her possession?
So now they're reviewing to see how important the classified material is, right? Authorities could decide to seek disciplinary action, which sounds hot.
Mm. Oh, God.
Yeah. Rather than pursue charges. Oh, well, she would like that, Jim.
You're talking like she's Nurse Diesel from High Anxiety.
Go ahead, Jackie. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, as this gets juicier and juicier and people are talking about the possibility of conspiracy theories and right. Who is this Jill Kelly and why is all of this happening? And I've heard some really kind of interesting, outrageous speculation. But my gut instinct says she's an attractive woman living close to a military base who
right.
is using that sort of feminine wild sway to get access
right.
to these men, and I hate to sort of dumb it down to that level.
Well,
but
Jackie, listen, I have some stories about Fleet Week when I lived in New York that I wouldn't want
but
to get out necessarily.
It's
it seems like she's throwing fancy parties,
yeah,
and she's
right.
a you know sort of a curvaceous woman who you know may have put herself out in a situation where mm-hmm. she was flirty or
mm-hmm.
I mean I don't know,
and,
but it sounds like when she's at the center of this mess, at some point it's got to fall back on her and
right.
and all of these men, these top level military men who fell for whatever they fell for.
And from what I understand, she is a social climber of the highest order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Much sounds like
and
it.
And
well,
Jackie will get this reference, you won't, but she's the Brandy Glanville of Tampa.
Oh, I like Brandy, stop it.
I have no idea what
that
is.
She's the social climber on
you
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I like Brandy. I think Brandy is real.
Would you guys like some more fun facts? This is from Gawker. This just cannot get better. So Gawker's headline is, Petraeus' pal Jill Kelly loaned $800,000 to her unstable twin sister, according to a court. Unstable.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So awesome. Okay.
Well, Petraeus and Allen wrote letters of recommendation on the sister's behalf for a custody
I'm getting
battle,
to that.
And she lost.
Yeah.
I'm getting to that. Hang on.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
All right. Okay.
So much gossip, so little.
Okay.
Time.
Refill your coffee. Okay. Jill Kelly, the financially troubled Tampa socialite, who went to the feds complaining of harassing emails from an anonymous tormentor who turned out to be Paula Broadwell, her twin sister, Natalie might be my other favorite, is the bankrupt lawyer that a D.C. judge has called unstable, who has been repeatedly accused of lying to state and federal courts, and who, with her sister, regularly took Petraeus' wife on shopping trips. Just like a couple of regular gals, the doctor says. Okay.
But more importantly, how is all this Obama's fault?
Well, it just is, according to Right Wing World. Okay, Kelly and her husband are currently facing foreclosure on two multi-million dollar real estate investments,
wow.
As well as a lawsuit related to unpaid credit card debt.
Oh, boy.
So they're the
is
ones
this
that...
in addition to the fake charity they set up?
Oh, getting there.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Getting there. The Kellys also ran a charity purportedly devoted to cancer patients that spent most of its money on parties, entertainment, travel, and attorney's fees before going out of business. Oh, dear.
As you do.
Uh-huh. Natalie lives with her sister and brother-in-law in Tampa. She's an attorney specializing in whistleblower lawsuits, but by all accounts, her personal professional lives are a mess. Hot mess.
Real hot mess.
She filed for bankruptcy in April of this year, claiming $3.6 million in debt against $349,000 in assets.
Yikes.
Among the debts, an $800,000 personal loan from her sister and brother-in-law, who are also facing bankruptcy.
Okay, now we're wondering why she asked for an $80 million fee.
Right,
yeah.
To make this all
bill.
Go away. She's engaged in a nasty custody battle with her ex-husband. She's currently involved in a nasty litigation as well with Barry Cohen, a Tampa lawyer, who briefly employed her. She sued him in July, claiming sexual harassment, unpaid compensation. If you would just give me $80 million.
Take care of this little lawsuit.
There's a 19-page child custody order from a D.C. Superior Court judge calling her out in 2011 for a lengthy history of abusing the litigation process, willingness to say anything, even under oath, to advance her own personal interests. Let's see. Cohen claims that she fraudulently omitted Rolex watches, sable mink furs. This is so dynasty.
Oh, come on.
But who needs a
and
sable a diamond
in
ring
Tampa.
In
Tampa?
From a list of her assets.
In Tampa, that's true.
Yeah.
not exactly the tundra.
No.
Oh, and I had to help Jackie unpack all her furs from Miami. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. A fox? Really? A fox fur? Jackie.
One of those little foxes that bites its tail as you know. Yeah. My grandmother had one of those.
That is what I'm wearing to your soiree.
Okay. In addition to accusing her of abusing the litigation process, the judge in that custody case called Natalie the sister psychologically unstable.
Oh, my God.
She also, here's my favorite fun fact, once dated former Governor Charlie Crist.
Oh, wow.
What? Huh?
Wait a minute.
Did you hear what Jackie said?
What'd you say?
That'll mess you up.
I mean, it's all his fault.
Wow.
He's what? I didn't know. Okay. Sleep.
He just likes all to right. cuddle.
Am I just unattractive? Why isn't he?
Why doesn't he like me?
How many ways can we insinuate what we're trying to do?
Exactly.
You know what would make me feel better after all that? $80 million, Governor Chris. All right. Oh, dear. She must be crushed. He's married. All right. What? Oh, Jackie Schechner, this was too much fun. Please, alert me immediately if any new details should roll in.
I want to come back. As soon as there's another juicy nugget, it will be back.
Yay!
Go get a nugget. Bring it back.
All right, now I'm going to focus on other news.
All right, okay. See you in a few minutes.
All right, bye.
Okay.
Wow.
I miss you already. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, sometimes I get this feeling deep down inside. And it says,
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Arizona, welcome. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hey, hello.
Good morning. Enjoy your show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You know these Republicans that pledged their allegiance to Norquist instead of the United States and to the job that they took, I think that he should pick up their paycheck instead of us taxpayers. What do you think?
Well, yes. Well, and boy, that was the best analysis we've heard of this election. We Romney lost because the president called him a poopy head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Actually
that
used the
worked
word
so well in the Nixon-Kennedy debates.
Yes. Mr. Nixon is a poopy head.
You are a poopy head.
You do not want a poopy head in the White House.
Wow.
And they say we engage in hateful speech.
Oh, heavens. Okay. Barbara in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry. I was watching the show, and I thought I would know when you called.
Don't stop watching me. Talk to me. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say I was on the Patrick Murphy campaign here in Fort St. Lucie, Florida.
Oh, good for you. Hooray.
And I was one of the volunteers, and it was funny. I came home from after a day of working there, and I get a phone call from apparently the Allen West campaign headquarters.
Delightful.
But I didn't know when I picked up the phone, but it didn't matter. I'm proud to say who I'm voting for.
Yep.
And all three of my guys won. Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Obama,
yay.
Nelson, and Murphy.
Yay.
But anyway, I said to her, she said, are you going to vote for Allen West? Or, you know, and I said, well, since I'll never be invited to be ahead of, you know, to be in the He-Man Woman Haters Club, I'm voting for Patrick Murphy. You know?
I imagine a lot of those robocalls didn't go very well. They're not robocalls, but I'm guessing that those were conversations going on all over the country.
Yeah.
Some hopeful Mitt Romney staff are hoping, or Republican staff are hoping to get the right answer. And no. All right. Wow. So press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
Can I just say, how many people have already emailed me to say that it was an American president? It was an American president moment. Again, I'm telling you, the president watches the show every day. I can tell. Randy Rhodes pointed it out yesterday, and then a guest on Rachel pointed it out, that when he was defending Susan Wright, Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saying.
That was good.
Right. You don't go after Sidney Allen Wade. She's way out of your league.
Yeah.
You'll have to come to me, Bob. I forget his name. Bob, whatever. Okay. The president yesterday at his press conference. talking about.
She made an appearance at the request of the White House, in which she gave her best understanding of the intelligence that had been provided to her. If Senator McCain and Senator Graham and others want to go after somebody, they should go after me.
Yes.
And I'm happy to have that discussion with them. But for them to go after the UN ambassador, who had nothing to do with Benghazi, and was simply making a presentation based on intelligence that she had received, and to besmirch her reputation, is outrageous.
I'm telling you, he's a fan of, you know,
I'm sure he's watched
American
it.
President and also
Stephanie Miller.
Just saying.
He
That's
didn't mention eating sand. Huh?
That's right. It's real leadership. That's not sand. That was real leadership you saw
People
yesterday.
Want leadership, Mr. President.
Right?
In the absence of genuine
sand.
Leadership, they'll
yeah.
listen
sand.
Anyone
yeah.
who steps Lies. Up to the microphone.
Sand. Lipstick.
I'm Barack
Lipstick.
Obama, and I am president.
Lipstick.
They're so thirsty for it. They'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage.
Will they do?
When they discover there's
Eat
no
the
water,
yeah.
they'll drink the sand.
Drink it. Drink the sand.
You guys know how the sand, don't you?
Thirsty.
Okay. Why do they drink the sand?
Sand. Because they don't know the difference.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's why.
Sidney Allen Lade is way out of your league, Bob. What the hell's his last name? Why am I blanking
I've
now?
Never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Oh, my
Bob
God.
Woodward?
You're fired.
No! Rumsford. I'm Bob Rumsford, and I'm running for president.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Right.
Mr. President, you're going to need a bigger boat.
When it comes to Rob Reiner movies, I prefer Misery. That,
all right.
That's my kind of Rob Reiner movie.
All right.
So.
They're all spectacular. Okay. John McCain, I have to say, so I don't know whether there's something about finally leaving office that you do the right thing. Joe Lieberman, now that he's leaving office, he actually went to the classified briefing yesterday, which
yeah.
is David Axelrod said, instead of holding a press conference like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And he found out what's actually going on and knows that Susan Rice is not at all is what the president just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all involved. Here's Grampy McBitter yesterday.
Let's see what happens here. But we will do whatever's necessary to block the nomination. That's within our power as far as Susan Rice is concerned.
He's just
wow.
so bitter.
Mm-hmm. Nasty
bitter
old man.
Party of one. Okay. John McCain again.
He said not to, quote, pick on his ambassador to the United Nations, to, quote, pick on him. That statement is really remarkable in that if the president thinks that we are picking on people, he really does not have any idea of how serious this issue is. I'm the United States Senator.
God.
Senator from New Hampshire is. We have our obligations. We have our duties
mm-hmm.
representing the people that sent us here. And we're not picking on anybody. And I doubt if the families of these brave Americans who were murdered would believe that we are, quote, picking on anyone, than when we are trying to find out the facts. The American people deserve to know the facts.
Okay. First of all, the president said it best. She's the UN ambassador. She had nothing to do with Benghazi.
Right.
She was going on TV to update people on the intelligence that she had at the time,
right.
which is absolutely correct. That is picking
yes,
on somebody.
But we want political gain from this blame game. And
I said
the truth by accident.
Out loud. Okay.
I wasn't supposed to say that part. Darn it. Who moved my cheese?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Julie in Seattle did. There was a reference yesterday, and rarely am I not old enough to get a reference.
Okay. What happened?
We were talking about other great sex scandals.
Yes.
Political sex scandals.
Wilbur Mills.
Is this the Bloomingdale's
yes.
one?
Okay. Okay. Who knew? Can I have some scandal music, please, Steph? Leave it to a silly USC co-ed who voted for Reagan.
Huh.
What?
Not to remember Nancy Reagan's best friend, Betsy Bloomingdale's troubles, quote-unquote.
Oh.
This was good. I actually read all the details last night. Her hubby, Alfred, was caught up in all sorts of unseemly goings-on with his longtime mistress, sexpot Vicky Morgan, and other women. Quite the old Randy pervert, Alfred, led to divorce and lawsuits regarding the Bloomingdale money, as I recall. Vicky Morgan was much hotter, by the way, than any of these cheap brass tarts we're hearing about today. But she came to a bad end in an L.A. apartment. There was murder. Murder. She was murdered. Yeah, but Betsy Bloomingdale was Nancy Reagan's best friend, and Alfred Bloomingdale was in Reagan's, like, kitchen cabinet, they called it. And,
okay.
Yeah, so that's why that was a whole, that's a whole thing.
Thing.
All right. See, we always think our sex scandals are better. Our newfangled sex scandals.
She was cleaning her knife, and it went off in her back 9 or 10 times. And all happened when you get
apparently,
sex
she
scandal.
Actually, she bludgeoned herself in the head with a baseball bat, apparently.
As you do.
Really?
Same kind of thing that might happen to Karl Rove if he's not careful.
And all that stuff was going on while you were throwing up grasshoppers on the 405.
Right. After going to see Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight, like you do, with your dorm mates in college. All right. So lots to get to this hour.
Maybe it was meatloaf that made you throw up.
Could have been. Don't say it. Oh, meatloaf just makes me splat. Okay. We were talking about President's Andrew Shepard moment from American President yesterday.
Yes.
Well, he already had the one earlier in the campaign. I'm Barack Obama and I am president. Bitch. He didn't say that part.
He didn't say bitch.
But this was when he was defending Susan Rice.
Yes.
And I don't know why. They're just, they literally are. It's like this is the picking on girls party at this point. She had nothing to do with this, as the president said. Let's recap, actually, what the president said first yesterday. They're just trying, honestly, I think there's so much acting out about losing this election in so many ways. In fact, coming up, we have the 6 best freakouts over Obama's election. But anyway, they're trying to do anything they can to try to hang something on this administration, the president yesterday.
She made an appearance at the request of the White House, in which she gave her best understanding of the intelligence that had been provided to her. If Senator McCain and Senator Graham and others want to go after somebody, they should go after me. And I'm happy to have that discussion with them. But for them to go after the UN ambassador, who had nothing to do with Benghazi, and was simply making a presentation based on intelligence that she had received, and to besmirch her reputation, is outrageous.
Yeah. Nowhere in there did he say pick on.
No,
he didn't. Those are their words.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, you know who's backed the administration up and her is Paul Wolfowitz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No Obama administration fan. You
know. Noted neocon Paul Wolfowitz.
I mean, what everybody has said, this is obviously there have been fast-moving events in the Middle East. The administration at no time has not just said this is the intelligence we have at the time. It's obviously a developing story. Here is Lindsey Graham yesterday.
This is about the role she played around 4 dead Americans when it seems to be that the story coming out of the administration, and she's the point person, is so disconnected to reality, I don't trust her. And the reason I don't trust her is because I think she knew better, and if she didn't know better, she shouldn't be the voice of America. Somebody has got to start paying a price around this place.
I don't trust you because you got a 1970s princess phone ringing in the background.
You know what? That's my ringtone on my phone, too. Yeah.
That's probably John McCain calling him. Say it nastier. No.
Nastier.
Like no, we, more like nasty.
We, like we talked about.
Call her a whore.
We did not have any information that John McCain told Lindsey Graham to call her a whore. Okay.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Although, just saying. Yeah. Okay. Given the misogynist bent of the Republican Party, as evidenced by the last election.
There you go with that hate speech again.
There I go again. Because I called the rapey Republicans the rapey Republicans. I'm just saying, there was a lot of them that had quite a bit to say about rape. Chatty,
right.
Chatty, chatty.
As long as it's legitimate rape. Then your body can shut it down.
Yes, I'm, well, women did have a way of shutting that whole electoral process down, didn't we? Ha! There I go with my hate speech again.
Brian Mulroney's just bitter.
All right.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Okay. The president also, in other press conference news, challenged congressional Republicans to let taxes rise on the wealthiest Americans. Really? Are we going to have this discussion again? Did you not hear the election results? Were they not loud enough for you?
Well, Tom Hartman had a good quote on that.
What's that?
Oh, we talked about the whole deal thing, a balanced deal. Says, last time I checked, Democrats won big in last week's election and still controlled the White House and the Senate on behalf of the voters. House Democratic candidates also won 500,000 more congressional votes than House Republican candidates. That looks like a mandate to me, meaning Americans don't want a balanced approach. They want a progressive approach.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom Hartman. He's smart. Yes, the president noted he campaigned successfully for re-election. He also pointed that out. And contending it would instantly ease the threat of the fiscal cliff of plunging the nation back into recession, a modest tax increase on the wealthy is not going to break their backs. They'd still be wealthy, he said in his first press conference. I believe this is solvable, the president's yesterday.
I think every voter out there understood that that was an important debate, and the majority of voters agreed with me. Not, by the way, more voters agreed with me on this issue than voted for me. So we've got a clear majority of the American people who recognize if we're going to be serious about deficit reduction, we've got to do it in a balanced way. The only question now is, are we going to hold the middle class hostage in order to go ahead and let that happen?
So, you know, the problem is, we keep, you know, they keep saying, like, Boehner, he's sort of saying stuff like, oh, you know, there's a new bipartisan spirit of cooperation that's been evident.
Tavern.
However, he said at the president's proposal, we're not going to hurt our economy, make job creation more difficult.
No, shut
up. Oh, my God, really? You're just going to continue with the same talking points?
Yeah.
Oh, the job creators, they're going to...
The job creators are not going to be able to hire more people out of the tavern.
Weren't those tax cuts supposed to expire 2 years ago?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and the president said...
That's too quick for them, apparently. Yeah.
Well, this, you know, yeah, the president obviously gave in the last time, and he said at the time this was a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. As you recall, he did it at the time because he was, it was over, unemployment benefits, and you remember, it was right before Christmas, and they were going to cut off, like, anyway. All right, economists in both parties have cautioned, though, given the sluggish state of the economy, a return to recession is likely unless lawmakers and the president reach a compromise on the legislation. Obama said everybody's taxes will automatically go up, including the 98% of Americans who make less than $250,000 a year and the 97% of small businesses who earn less than $250,000 a year. Our economy can't afford that right now. As an alternative, and I don't know why they don't do this, he suggested they pass legislation immediately to prevent any tax hike whatsoever on the first $250,000 of everybody's income.
That would make sense.
Right, a measure he noted has already passed the Senate and that Democrats in the House are ready to embrace. He said we should not hold the middle class hostage while we debate tax cuts for the wealthy, and we should at least do what we agree on, and that's keep middle classes low.
That's a compromise. That sounds like a great compromise.
Right. They don't. But Republicans don't want to do that, though, politically, because then they have to take a vote on protecting the very richest. You know, which is what the real issue is. He was asked why this time would be different with the Bush tax cuts. He said, what I said at the time was what I meant, which is this was a one-time proposition. Now, he said, legislation that keeps most of the cuts in place, but not those for upper-income earners, would be actually removing half the fiscal cliff. And if they were interested in governing and in hearing the results of this election, they would do that. By the way, the president being very gracious yesterday about Mitt Romney.
My hope is before the end of the year, though, that we have a chance to sit down and talk. There are certain aspects of Governor Romney's record and his ideas that I think could be very helpful. To give you one example.
Romney care?
I do think he did a terrific job running the Olympics. What I want to do is to get ideas from him and see if there's some ways that we can potentially work together.
See, if it were me, I would have said with government money. But because he did run the Olympics.
But you're not gracious.
With government. I'm a left-wing hate monger.
Yeah, apparently.
As we know.
According to Sean Hannity and Brian Mulroney.
Right. Okay.
Crybabies, sure losers.
And once again, let's do compare and contrast. Here is Mitt Romney in a phone call to donors yesterday. Mm-hmm.
What the president's campaign did was focus on certain members of his base coalition, give them extraordinary financial gifts from the government, and then work very aggressively to turn them out to vote.
Extraordinary gifts. Medicare and Social Security and stuff we paid into.
Yeah, I mean, really, talking about, like, just continuing to be in denial, and it's just so insulting.
And Bobby Jindal took Romney to task for saying that yesterday, saying that Romney was dividing America by speaking like that.
No, I mean, I hate to say it, that and what Paul Ryan said, they continue to have, you know, this sort of racism that was underlying the entire campaign. Paul Ryan saying, oh, they won because of urban areas.
Yeah.
The president didn't win in just urban areas. What, Iowa's an urban area? Wisconsin's an urban area? I mean, it's so insulting. It's just whining and excuse-making. Mm-hmm. And it's
crybabies, sore losers.
Exactly. Thank you, Sean Hannity. But, I mean, I really, that was stunning to me. It really was doubling down on his 47% comments. It's so bitter, I think, and out of touch. It's just, and it's insulting.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we got free stuff. I mean, that's exactly what Rush Limbaugh said. Oy, hey. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The 80s called. They want their foreign policy and that song back. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlene in Iowa. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to say I really love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to talk about the superior attitude that the right wing seems to have, that they have this attitude that they can say any insulting thing about any group they want, and then don't understand why we don't vote for them.
Right.
That just seems so ridiculous to me.
Right. Right. Well, that's what, you know, some sane Republicans have pointed out, Charlene. It's not even just their policies. It's their tone.
Well, you
it's
would say that being a freeloader.
It's their tone about women, about Hispanics, about gay people, about you name it, right?
Exactly. I hope all of this comes up in the 2014 election cycle as talking points so that people can stay on track and vote against us again.
Yep. Right. Yep, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's go to Mickey in South Dakota. Hi, Mickey. Welcome.
Howdy, Steph.
Howdy.
And everybody else. It's my birthday today, so I couldn't have a better birthday gift.
Aww.
You know, getting through to you.
Happy birthday.
Anyway, I'm a gay white man.
Ooh.
Who's been with my partner for over 30 years.
Uh-huh.
We live in a very small town in South Dakota.
What do you think about this whole straights in the military issue? We're really having a problem with straight behavior in the military, aren't we?
Anyway, I wanted to say a couple things. First off, who gets all that money that was left over after the elections from the Republicans mainly? And also, you know those girls in Florida and that other girl with Petraeus?
Yes.
Around here, we call them hoes.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Apparently, around there, they call them party planners.
They call them unpaid social income. Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, honey. Happy birthday. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. John in North Carolina. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hey, Steffi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, you know, Mitt's talking about all these gifts that us ordinary people supposedly got from our president.
Yes. I'm still waiting for mine.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. When is he going to give back the gifts that he's getting, like his 57% discount on his income, or his Cayman Islands for tax break, or all these other things that he gets?
Yeah, that's a good point. The 1% are certainly getting a lot more gifts than the rest of us are getting. All right. The president yesterday at his...
I'm more than familiar with all the literature about presidential overreach in second terms. We are very cautious about that. On the other hand... I didn't get reelected just to bask in reelection. I got elected to do work on behalf of American families.
Yeah, and by the way, I love this headline. Obama rejects Boehner's fake tax compromise.
Yeah, yeah.
So far, this is the kind of bipartisanship and compromise they're talking about. Mitt Romney's plan.
Yep.
What?
You know exactly what we want, and that's the compromise.
President Obama criticized the approach that Speaker of the House Boehner and many other congressional Republicans have proposed. Boehner and the rest of the GOP have recently suggested cutting tax rates but raising more federal revenue via a combination of closing loopholes and counting on the economic growth that tax cuts will supposedly cause. Mm. Obama derided dynamic scoring the revenue increases that conservatives claim will occur after tax cuts, saying he would oppose any efforts to only sort of kind of raise revenue. As he said, the math doesn't work.
Right.
Huh? I mean, and we had this election. We had that's what we do here in America, and they lost.
The math worked.
Yes. Arithmetic, as Bill Clinton said.
Yeah.
Arithmetic, as Bill Clinton said, and Nate Silver said. Again, reiterating, the president said yesterday Republicans would have to agree to raise taxes on the wealthy as a first step in the budget deal that would prevent, you know, the fiscal cliff, blah, blah, blah. Blah.
Whatever.
Obama said he would, once again, he's already being more bipartisan right. than they are. He said he would be open to considering Republican priorities, such as entitlement reform and tax code overhaul. There are some tax code things that should that could be fixed, but it is not going to close this deficit hole by itself.
That's right.
Just is not. Obama said a Republican's Congress would first have to agree to his top priority. He said, what I'm not going to do is further a tax cut for folks who don't need it. And as he said, this was a centerpiece of the campaign. It's mm-hmm. not like this didn't come up.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a shock to anyone.
According to a Pew poll, more voters would blame Republicans than Obama if the two sides failed to reach a deal to avert the fiscal cliff. As I've said before, president playing three-dimensional chess, rest of us playing checkers. Because you remember, I remember all the liberals screaming when he, you know, had to compromise the last time. Yep. But he was in a different position. I mean, he really was not. Now he has the leverage. And is not, and that's why he's taking this case to the American people again, mm-hmm. even after he just won an election. They still don't get it. Going over the cliff, they're saying, would cause the economy to shrink by 0.5% and push unemployment up to 9.1% by the end of next year, according to the CBO. So there's stakes in it for everybody. But, you know, as a lot of Democrats have said, if we went over the cliff, the Republicans know, like, we'd have all the leverage then, and they could, and it's not like it would happen all at once. It's not like in people's first paycheck. So I'm just saying, it's out there. It's one of the things that
stakes for everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, the Bush tax cut would have expired. We start the conversation over.
That's right.
We're talking about 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative Paul Tonko next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I just found out that she's 17 years younger than me. I knew I shouldn't have done this. I look ridiculous.
Oh, nonsense. You never look better.
I hate you.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, just talking about the president's press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. Awesome. The talks about the fiscal cliff. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Stephanie Miller, good morning. It's great to be on the show post-election and post-handing out all the gifts.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, let's start with that. What about that? I mean, how insulting.
It just gets crazier with time. It's like, you know, I think people wanted to hear about how we can get through these tough economic times. They want to know about fairness. They want to know about justice. They want to know about strengthening the middle class. A strong middle class means a strong America.
Yep.
They see this stuff, you know, the talk about the 47%, now the buying off people with, you know, federal gifts. It just, you know, it takes a lot of focus. There's such a mission there to accomplish. And let's do the academics.
And Congressman, for him to stand there and say, oh, the president won because he gave out free stuff like health care, which was based on his health care plan. And first of all, nobody's getting free health care. He talks about, you know, having kids being allowed to stay on their parents' insurance till 26, free stuff. It's like,
yeah, it's peculiar that this will still continue, you know, and I just hope that we can go forward. We've got some crises here. We've got the fiscal cliff or slope, however you want to nomenclature it out. But I think there are doable things here that we can do.
Yep.
And you grow the economy simply by putting people to work, providing the dignity of work for vast numbers out there. And the middle class needs fair and equitable tax policy right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, I'm just reading. I thought, boy, it's not just Bobby Jindal. I'm reading S.E. Cupp, a conservative Republican on Morning Joe, said Romney's comments amounted to blame the voters. I mean, if this is all they've got right now is to look backward and blame the voters rather than the president yesterday, I thought was very clear on how we move forward. And he's already sounding, you know, more willing to compromise. I mean, here are the Republicans. They just took a drubbing. And literally, they're coming forward with Mitt Romney's tax plan. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think, you know, what we have here is this moment of responsiveness where, you know, there's no mistaking the president won this election with a pretty strong electoral college vote and a very clear margin in the popular vote. Now, some people say it wasn't 70% or 100%, you know, that there were people that were discontented with that message. Well, the majority in this democracy of our republic is what rules. And you had a majority of folks voting for Democrats running for the House of Representatives by millions. You had a strengthening in the United States Senate for the Democratic Party, and you had a return for a second term for a Democratic president. And his message and our message was very strong. It resonated out there. Provide for fairness for the middle class. Continue the middle class tax cut, and don't, we can't afford the tax cut for the upper echelon.
Representative, let me ask you kind of a dumb layperson question, but what the president suggested yesterday, let's pass what we agree on right now, the tax cuts for, you know, the vast majority.
And everybody wants that, right?
Right.
Everybody wants the middle class tax cut.
Why can't we do that? Is it because of the House majority? Why can't we just pass that first?
I would think that that would be the right thing to do, and provide for the stability. You know, in the short term, long term, there are some heavy duty issues that have to be resolved. But short term, keep people working, grow the economy, reduce the deficit. And that happens by, you know, providing, I think, aggregate demand for goods and services, bolster the economy, build the confidence in the economy. The great group of purchasing out there is done by the middle class. You give them that tax cut, and it's invested in the regional, state, and national economies.
But, Congressman, I'm just, I guess what I'm trying to understand legislatively is, you know, as the president said yesterday, that would get rid of half the fiscal cliff right there.
Right.
Why can't we do, can we do that, or is it I'm John
hopeful.
Boehner that's going to stop that?
Yeah, see, I it's hard to read right now. I think there was somewhat of an acknowledgement by everyone in the House that the people spoke for that fairness in the middle class. So your statement about it appearing to be universally popular, I believe is on target, and I would hope we could go forward and do that piece, do that tax cut for the middle class, and continue to work away at other pieces.
Right. Well, Congressman Tonko, I guess, you know, I want to get your take on this because we've heard a lot so far. First of all, it seems like, you know, they're sort of feigning like, oh, yeah, yeah, we heard the election results. We're going to compromise. But then it's like it's either Mitt Romney's plan or it's the same intransigence on tax cuts for the rich. So, as you know, some Democrats have suggested going over the cliff. They've suggested, I'm reading now from this piece this morning from Reuters, some Democrats have suggested that scenario could give them more leverage when income tax rates rise automatically on January 1st to levels that were in place during the 90s. By that line of thinking, Republicans might be more willing to agree to a tax deal that would lower tax rates back to their current levels for the bottom 98%. Obviously, there's feeling on both sides about that. It spooks corporate America. But what do you? I mean, I know Patty Murray, Dick Durbin, among others, have put that out there. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I
think we're going to get to that.
I'd prefer we don't go over that cliff. That we resolve that middle class tax cut, which gets us a good bit of the work that needs to be done to avoid that cliff. And to begin to take the scalpel rather than the axe to all of this investment, especially from the domestic side, where you know, nation building begins at home, and we need to do these programs that respond to need out there. You know, I'm in the Northeast. I'm looking at the need for a response to Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, and we have to resolve these issues. There, you know, there's a squeeze on to FEMA and some of the agencies that will prevent or at least reduce that human misery out there.
Yeah. Congressman, you know, it's interesting. I think that while I understand politically that that would, you know, all the leverage would rest with us, if in fact we just said, look, go over the cliff, let the Bush tax cuts expire. But, you know, part of it, it's hard to quantitate because it's psychological, right? I'm reading in the rest of this article, some business leaders say failure to, you know, reach a compromise.
Right.
Could prompt them to shift their investments overseas. Others say uncertainty is already weighing on the economy as businesses sit on more than $1 trillion in cash rather than putting it to work. So, you know, certainly the president's point of view is we don't want to go over this cliff, right?
Right, right. I think it's a less desirable option, and it shouldn't be an option. I think we need to get down. We know what we have to do. We know what the people said yes to. You know, not only did the vote reflect it, but the public opinion surveys went beyond the vote that the president got. 65% or so said that they wanted, you know, fairness and relief provided to the middle class. So the bulk of America has said, relieve the middle class here. And when you do that, again, to repeat myself, it spurs the economy. It provides for that confidence. When you get that buying power enhanced for the middle class, they don't go and bank it. You know, these tax cuts on the top, became apparent we lost 8.2 million jobs. They either saved it or invested it offshore.
Right.
And, you know, that's not spurring the economy. So we know what we've got to do. And, you know, there's a piece which is apparently universally popular. And let's get it done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, but again, you know, as we saw some of these most, you know, obstructionist Tea Party Republicans were ousted from Congress, but there's some still in. So if you had to take a guess now, how is this going to play out this time? Certainly the president does have more leverage, but that hasn't mattered in the past. So,
right. Well, I was hopeful earlier in the week that, you know, I think the Tea Party numbers slipped a bit. The message obviously sunk in, and the voting showed that. But now the acrimony that's developed over the last day over the appointment of a Secretary of State is going to drive now more acrimony into the situation. And I'm hoping that that doesn't slow or interrupt the process. Coming together. We need to come together. The people want bipartisan, bicameral action, working with their president, executive, legislative branches. We know there's a crisis here. Get it resolved. And again, it's about the middle strata, the middle class.
And, you know, Paul, there used to be a point where we all were just Americans when something like this happened overseas. I mean, I can't remember, Chris, I don't know if you have the number handy, but the number of Americans that were killed in embassies when George Bush was in office, do we remember anybody politicizing this this on the other side? I mean, the fact that, you know, like you, and we remember after 9/11, the worst security failure in our history on our soil, and we were told not to politicize that. Or you couldn't.
Right.
So, I mean, it really is sort of incredible that even when the Paul Wolfowitzes of the world have come out and backed up the administration on, you know, look, there is a developing situation. They're giving us the best intelligence they have at the time, that they would yet again make this a political football, right?
Oh, and the scrutiny of Ms. Rice and the harshness by which they're approaching it, it's political theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the president showed his very strong leadership yesterday when he came down firm on the way they're trying to work the process and will expect and require that it be honorable.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess what I still can't get my mind around, Representative, is, you know, I've looked at all of this, you know, basically all of the reports we have thus far. I mean, I'm privy to classified information, but I mean, it seems like there's nothing she said that was necessarily incorrect.
Right.
The video, in fact, may have been part of this. I'm not saying the entire idea, but it just, I don't understand where the scandal is here. Do you?
No, not at all. And I think, again, it is just so driven by, I think, political theater, and it seems as though they want to move to step two, which is looking at some other choices out there. But again, if it impacts negatively upon the negotiations that are essential to get this work done now to avoid the fiscal cliff, it'll be regrettable.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Paul Tonko, if only we had billions of you in Congress. Is that possible mathematically? Probably not.
And constitutionally,
not,
no.
But, no. There goes my uniqueness.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
All right. Congressman Paul Tonko, the great state of New York.
Yeah.
Upstate, where Mama's from. All right, 47 or 45 minutes after the hour. What's wrong with me? It's arithmetic. It's right in front of me. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me rock it. That's all I want to do. Let me rock it. Rock it.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tim in Richmond, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Steph, I wanted to let you know that yesterday I went to my pantry to prepare dinner, and I saw a jar of mushrooms and a can of sauerkraut sitting next to one another.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, well, I'm making Stephanie's dish tonight.
Yay! Woo!
And it was good.
Did you have some
it was
dill?
Really good. You know, I had it with salmon and the dill, and it went really well with salmon.
It's delicious.
But, you know, but I just can't see it with Thanksgiving dinner stuff. Like
damn you.
Both good.
Damn you, Tim. But, just do it. You'll trust me on it. It's with turkey and
really?
A little butternut squash. Yes,
but, but you know what? Every family has that one dish
that
on the Thanksgiving
weird.
Table that doesn't really go.
You're like, really?
Yeah.
Green beans with Skittles? All right. I don't know. All right. Oh, by the way, I need some my recipe music. Ellie and Sausalito would like some clarification on my mother's sauerkraut recipe for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Steph, because she got it from the podcast. Steph, I got this much from your podcast. I need a few more details. Mm. A lot of people are lost without me in the kitchen. Steph, sauerkraut, saute mushrooms and onions in oil and bacon fat. Jar of sauerkraut, drain it, boil it, mix it in with the sauteed mushrooms and onions. Saute with salt, pepper, and dill. That's it. Make it up yourself. People, Ellie wants to know, one onion, large, medium, small, better with onions, cut large or minced. Okay, small. Just cut them small. How many mushrooms? I don't know. A thing.
A big onion or a smaller onion?
Whatever. It depends on how much you like.
A white onion, a yellow onion, a red onion? What kind of?
The kind that you have attached to your belt because it's the only kind you can get because of the war.
We can't bust
all right,
heads
I'm
like
not doing that story again. It just depends on how much you like onion. Improvise, people. How much bacon fat? However much you like. Drip it. I don't know. Does the bacon get crumbled in? Oh, I haven't tried that, but that
might be
good.
Good.
Improvise, Ellie. How much oil? Whatever.
Well, if you have bacon fat, why would you need oil?
I don't know. My mom does a little of both. You could do just one or the other.
No, you don't want oil and bacon fat.
No,
that's why my mom does it.
Was your mom a good cook?
Yes.
Was she? Okay, good.
How long do you boil the drained sauerkraut? Like 20 minutes, Ellie. Do you saute the final mixture till brown? Yes. How much dill? A few pinch? You know what, people? I can't come to all of your houses. Do it to taste.
And why would you put salt in something that has sauerkraut? That seems like it would be a little flavor overkill.
Don't bother me. Nobody talk to me.
I need more salt on my anchovies.
I would think the
Can
bacon
salt
would take
my pickle for me.
Yeah, I would think bacon would take care of the salt factor.
Listen, just trust my mom, okay?
All right, I do.
All right, So, and we now bring you these.
Take an entire pig and carve it with cabbage.
Yes.
All right, the six most bizarre freakouts over Obama's reelection.
Okay.
It's hard to keep track. Seriously, is it me or are people losing their? Selection more than, I mean.
The right wing is, yes.
Okay, give me some music for this.
Because they believe
covered,
the lies.
Some of the nation's CEOs took out their frustration on their employees.
Uh-huh.
These are absolutely, it's a toddler spinning on their back in the Walmart parking lot. There is nothing about their business that has changed from last Tuesday to last Thursday, except that Obama won and they're freaking out. Robert Murray, CEO of Murray Energy, responded by reading a prayer to his employees and laying off 50 of them. Papa John's, that guy, CEO John Schnatter.
Yeah, because it's going to cost him a few cents a pizza.
Yeah, they'll
and
have to
got this giant compound.
Yeah, Because his 40,000 square foot house isn't enough. He can't possibly afford. He said they're going to have to start cutting hours for employees in order to pay for the president's health care law.
Oh, come on.
An Applebee's franchise, same thing. They're not going to expand. Oh, my friend, they're not doing anything. Pardon me. Oh, Reuters reported on an emerging job description for a number of financial advisors throughout the country, talking their wealthiest clients off a ledge in the wake of Obama's win. One Houston-based advisor said a client wanted to turn his assets into gold and bury it in multiple places on his ranch. He managed to talk him out of it, but after the election, the client was evidently too upset to talk about it.
Somebody's been listening to Glenn Beck.
Riots and racial slurs. How about this one? Election day turned ugly by nightfall at a pair of Southern University. Hundreds of students at Ole Miss rioted after the race was called for Obama. Some hurled racial slurs and burned Obama campaign signs. A similar scene in a Hampton-Sydney College in Virginia. Threats of violence, racial epithets, blah, blah, blah. A Florida man displayed the American flag upside down the day after the election because he believes the country's in distress. A Texas man did the same thing. That's actually supposed to be just for really... It's a serious thing under the U.S. lab code.
When George Bush was in office, I was turned the stamps upside down, the flag, the flag stamps.
That made it. That helped.
Yeah.
Larry Klayman at WorldNet Daily. Oh, who could count on them
to...
Oh,
God.
The headline, God has a bigger plan. He searched for a divine interpretation of Obama's term. He needs somebody to deliver us from the Egyptian-like bondage we find ourselves in, thanks to our mullah in chief.
Seriously?
Oh, God.
GOP Texas
a bunch of morons.
GOP official in Texas called on his state to all the secession petitions. To separate him from the rest of the country and the maggots who helped secure a second term. Okay, so 19 states now want to secede. Okay,
good luck with that.
Not getting
any more federal money.
These, I have to say, I saved because they are in the sad stack of overreaction. What was funny on Monday, sad on Thursday, the Arizona man whose wife allegedly hit him with the family car after he failed to vote. She was upset about Obama's reelection, and he may be permanently disfigured.
Oh.
He sustained a pelvic fracture, artery damage, and a possible permanent disfiguration. His wife, Holly, who was reportedly angry about President Obama's reelection, allegedly chased him around a parking lot Saturday night, screaming at him as an argument about his neglect of the polling booth escalated. She is, by the way, 6 months pregnant.
Oh, God.
With their child. Okay, and this one, fairly hard to believe, but a Key West businessman, gay guy. Who for years had gave to AIDS help and other charities may have taken his own life after a bout of depression over struggling business and the recent election results, his partner said. Police detective found 64-year-old Henry Smith Hamilton found on his bathroom sink a copy of his living will on which was handwritten, "Do not revive Obama." Hamilton had been distressed about his business and very upset about the outcome of the election, according to his partner. "If Barack gets reelected, I'm not going to be around," he had said, according to his partner. He had been worried of late over his tanning business, his other investment, and how Obama's reelection would affect his financial holdings. I mean, have we all just lost our minds in this country? I mean,
That's insane.
That is just sad and insane. And I have to say, as a really sad footnote, that this president has done more to progress gay rights in this country than all of our other presidents combined. And that is the saddest footnote I've heard.
But, by the way, Chuck Woolery just sent out a tweet cheering on the secessionists.
Oh, Chuck. Don't encourage them. All right.
Oh, God.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller
Show. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we have lots of new nuggets about the Petraeus scandal. Jackie will join us later this hour. We'll talk about all the latest. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Brian and Charlotte emailed Steph. "So I hear Mitten seems to think Obama won the election by promising free stuff. Well, I've been checking the mail every day, and all I seem to keep getting are these free student loan bills.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm so happy Obama won the election that I actually used the welfare check to pay for the groceries instead of making a payment on my Escalade. If being a gazillionaire implies Mitt's level of lazy thinking, then education is for suckers, Mama. All right.
Yeah.
Matt, where, Mary, where are you? Only in Texas? Where's all them paid right-wing callers?
Yeah, Art in Chicago.
I think Billy's seceded. Maybe he
personally
did.
Seceded.
Maybe he did. All right. By the way, speaking of free stuff, Britain sent us it's the beaver stack bite of the century.
Yeah.
Steve Irwin, the late great.
This beaver would have a big enough bite to remove a rather large section of my bone.
Oh, dear.
Bloody eyes.
Do you think there was immediate giggling from the camera crew? What? What did I say?
It's talking about a beaver taking a rather large bite out of my bone. What? Why are you laughing?
Okay.
Wow.
By the way, Jackie
just... It's a very large beaver.
Jackie just said at the top of the hour that Alan West still refusing to concede. Hilarious. And Dave, with the breaking news staff, Governor Bonefinger, Jan Brewer, is considering running for a third term. The Arizona's constitution only allows governors, of course, to hold office for two terms, but she will contest the fact her first term was partial because of Janet Napolitano's appointment to the president.
Oh, she might have a point there.
Who wants more Bonefinger?
Bonefinger.
She might have a point there.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. See, right. See, I warned you that this would cause problems in Arizona, putting Janet Napolitano
in there.
Didn't
you?
I did.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tell ya.
Just another edition of Art. Women are a lot more awesome. Nancy Pelosi yesterday talking about leadership.
I have made a decision to submit my name to my colleagues to once again serve as the House Democratic leader.
And then, even more entertaining was her smackdown of little Luke Russert.
Oh.
Well, she makes a good point. Like, she goes, you always ask that question, except to Mitch McConnell. He asked about her age.
Yeah.
You, Mr. Hoyer, Mr. Clyburn, you're all over 70. Is your decision to stay on prohibit younger leadership from moving forward?
So you're suggesting that everybody step aside? Let's, for a moment, honor it as a legitimate question. Although it's quite offensive, but you don't realize that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, he originally said, some of your colleagues privately say your decision to stay on prohibits the party from having younger leadership and hurts the party in the long term. What's your response? The question drew boos, and Pelosi replied with next. And then she said, you've always asked that question, except to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Zing! Zing!
Can I just say, I've never really cared for Luke Russert.
No.
Yeah,
he's a kind of a right-wing tool.
So have you ever heard of them ask a guy, an old Republican guy, like, how come you're in here so long?
You don't.
I mean, it's like, yeah. And she said, everything I've done is to elect younger, newer people into Congress, particularly younger women. So she said the answer is no.
Hey, Grandma, get out of the way.
Hey, Granny.
Yeah, young people can do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like we can text while we're driving.
This Politico...
Another cool stuff.
This Politico piece just made me happy. The headline, New Senate Breed, Liberal and Proud of It.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to take credit. Sexy Liberal Show. Because I told you that's why we took that word back.
Yep.
We made it a dirty word, but in a good way.
Yep.
Right? Just saying.
You made it sexy.
Thank you. Exactly.
Dare I say.
Thank you. Big sexy liberal announcement coming up soon.
What?
Huh?
The Senate is about to become a liberal lion's den. Yay! Right, Michelle Bachmann? Yay! There's a new gang of senators who ran their campaign as unabashed progressives and won. Several will replace more moderate predecessors, led by Elizabeth Warren.
She's sexy.
A hero who of the left who reclaimed the seat had held by the original liberal lion, Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Warren, Tammy Baldwin, Chris Murphy, and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii join newly reelected Democratic senators Sherrod Brown and Sheldon Whitehouse to strengthen a once dwindling group of diehard liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy liberals, in my opinion. Just saying. Okay. Okay. Howard Dean might say these are folks who belong to the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, as he used to say.
Mm-hmm.
They are pro-gay marriage, pro-union, favor tax increases on the wealthy, and support Obamacare. In some ways, they're populist throwbacks in the spirit of Paul Wellstone or Hubert Humphrey, who don't flinch from explaining the positive role the government can play in people's lives.
Yep.
Hooray. Yay. Yay!
Oh, she wouldn't say yay
Murphy,
to that.
Murphy, who's replacing Senator Joe Lieberman, well, first of all, yay for that, and also as our friend
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Okay. Murphy said the re-election of President Obama and Senate wins across the country was an indication that voters clearly want the wealthiest among us to contribute to the future fiscal health of this nation. I don't think there's any reason why Democrats should back down from our belief that the Bush tax cut should expire for the wealthiest Americans. Thank you, Mr. Senator Murphy. Just the picture of Elizabeth Warren and Tammy Baldwin walking down, walking and talking, it made me happy. It made my happy, clappy liberal heart even happier. Oh, speaking of Wisconsin, when do they not get about what they're not supposed to say out loud?
Oh, I know.
Romney, co-chair Romney, absolutely would have won Wisconsin with voter ID law. So now that's their, oh, we just didn't do the suppression well enough. Damn it.
Wow. What are we, ah. Oh.
Yeah. Senator Alberta Darling, Republican, here, that was his Wisconsin co-chair, suggested her candidate would have won, but for the fact the state's voter ID law was declared unconstitutional.
If only we hadn't put all the black and brown people in camps.
Right.
That's what we should have done.
Oh.
By the way, President Obama currently leads in Wisconsin by more than 200,000 votes, yeah. So Darling is suggesting that 200,000 people somehow managed to vote twice without anybody noticing, or maybe one person voted 200,000 in one time.
Okay, that was me.
All right. Oh, Jim, you scamp. How about this? Speaking of people being freaking out over the president winning, Wisconsin lawmakers seek to arrest officials who implement Obamacare, which also has been ruled
constitutional
for those of you.
Yeah.
By the Supreme Court.
Yes. Everybody, let's review what we've learned. Voter ID laws, unconstitutional. Obamacare, constitutional. Maybe give John Roberts a jingle. Well, he can explain it to you again.
Well, they'll just secede. How'd you like that?
Okay.
More stuff for us.
Yeah, 9 state lawmakers in Wisconsin hoping to ensure that President Obama's health care reform law will not ever be implemented in their state. The group of Tea Party-affiliated Republicans, oh heavens.
Wow.
Backing a bill that would arrest any federal officials who attempt to implement Obamacare in Wisconsin.
Oh, come on.
God, really?
They would support, quote-unquote, legislation to nullify Obamacare and authorize state and local law enforcement to arrest federal officials attempting to implement the unconstitutional health care scheme. Known as Obamacare. So, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court says it's constitutional,
but they know
these
better.
Tea Party idiots from Wisconsin say it's unconstitutional. So, there.
Wow.
Hmm. Okay. Wow, this is all
they've
got.
What are they smoking?
Yeah.
Where can I get some?
They're smoking cheese. Smoking Gouda.
Smoked Gouda.
By the way, could you take your organ out for me?
Right away, Ms. Miller.
I have to save this for the ecclesiastical MOOC tomorrow on Friday, but it's still...
Oh, he's not going to be with us tomorrow?
No?
No, sorry.
All right, well, I'm just repeat it again.
Okay.
Gay marriage and marijuana both legalized on the same day. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lays with another man as he lays with a woman, then he should be stoned.
Yeah. Everybody must
get stoned. I guess we've been
interpreting
it wrong all these centuries. Everybody must. By the way, Willie and Annie Nelson just sent me a copy of his book, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can't wait to read it.
We need to have him on and to talk about that.
Yeah, he was on a few weeks ago. All right, Fox News, we've mentioned this earlier, aired a discredited Swiftboat Veterans for Truth ad in response to reports that John Kerry was being considered as the next Secretary of Defense.
Yep.
By the way, do you remember, just a review in case you forgot, in 2006, Steve Hayes, an early member of Swiftboat Veterans for Truth, broke with the group. And said the mantra was just, we want to set the record straight. It became clear to me that this was morphing from an organization to set the record straight into a highly political vendetta. They knew it was not the truth.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's a shot.
That hasn't stopped Fox News from airing it.
Again.
Okay. Rich in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I was aggravated about these taxes because... 2% pays 40% of the tax, as they say. But the problem is nobody ever mentions that 2% makes 87% of the money that comes into this country.
Right.
At least 13% for 98% of the people. And they say we're being overpaid. Let's see the 2% live on 13% that's left.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, arithmetic. Look out.
Oh, God.
Look out, everybody. Oh, by the way, speaking of voter suppression, Jim, my favorite headline. Florida governor orders review of election laws after voting snafus. What idiot was in charge here? What could have caused all this? I need some answers immediately.
I'm shocked and stunned.
Jetson!
What?
Hey, Mr. Spacely.
Okay, I can save you some time. You! You led to the voting snafus. Florida Governor Rick Scott ordered his top election officials to figure out what caused long
what
lines.
What happened?
At polling stations understand. And delays in ballot counting in the battleground state.
Oh, no. God.
He urged lawmakers to review recent changes to state election laws
uh-huh.
that you made. That critics say contributed to long lines.
That wasn't me. That was
Seriously?
Schick Rott.
He's
a different guy.
Outraged now, Chris. Outraged. Floridians should not have to wait several days for the results of a major presidential election to be tabulated because of the delays in a few counties when the majority of counties, blah, 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 blah. It's because you reduced the number of hours of early voting. You tried everything you could to suppress Democratic turnout, and you failed.
Yes.
There you go.
You failed, Julia.
I think it would have run a lot smoother if there was Medicare fraud involved.
Yeah. Here's another tip. When you put one voting booth in a minority area, then there's going to be long lines, you see, and I know that's a total accident. Mm-hmm. Last year, he backed a law by Florida's Republican-controlled legislature that reduced the number of early voting days and put in place restrictions, making it harder to register voters. Democrats and voting rights groups, of course, criticized the law, arguing it unfairly targeted Democrats, and specifically minorities who disproportionately voted early. The result of a reduced early voting was long lines that stretched along the blocks and lasted, as we know, for hours.
Still can't figure out what happened.
There you go. I just did the investigation for you. There's saving some taxpayer money there. Stop trying to suppress the vote. How about that? Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. Harumph. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh.
Jill Kelly?
Meaner. It is. We're going to do another coffee class with Jackie Schechter at the bottom of the hour with all the latest developments. Okay. In the sex scandal. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The president, of course, was asked about it yesterday at his press conference.
I have no evidence at this point, from what I've seen, that classified information was disclosed that in any way would have had a negative impact on our national security. The FBI has its own protocols in terms of how they proceed. I'm going to let Director Mueller and others examine those protocols and make some statements to the public generally.
She may have just taken it home, as Jackie Schechter said, for some light weekend reading.
Sure.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Just fell out of her Vanity Fair.
I'm not comfortable with her having classified information.
Well,
at home.
We were saying it's complicated by the fact that she does have clearance,
as a
U.S. Army, whatever she
is. Right. Whatever she, intelligence officer. Is she?
Yes, I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Petraeus is claiming they didn't come from him, and so they're trying to decide, like, you know, whether to charge her or whether it's...
I wouldn't think it's appropriate for anybody, even with a security clearance, to take home that stuff, because, you know, what if the kids are rifling around through the
day? If she had Go to My PC, she wouldn't have to. She could... You don't need to take stuff from
even though Go to My PC is very secure, I don't think you can do it with classified information.
Just saying. Okay, the president, one more time on that.
I want to emphasize that, from my perspective at least, he has provided this country an extraordinary service. We are safer because of the work that Dave Petraeus has done. And my main hope right now is that he and his family are able to move on. And that this ends up being a single side note on what has otherwise been an extraordinary career.
And he will testify about Benghazi.
In a closed-door session.
Right. We don't know when yet.
Well, I don't know that we are going to know because it's a closed-door session.
Because it's closed.
Yeah, so.
I'll know.
Oh, you will?
I'm on a need-to-know basis. Harriet.
Paul Tonko will call you up and let you know.
Give me a ring. Harriet in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Harriet.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, the reason that those creeps are going after Susan Rice the way they are is because they don't want her to be Secretary of State. They want John Kerry in there. That opens up the Senate seat for, guess who? Scott Brown.
Right, but Harriet, wouldn't that, if he was Secretary of Defense, he would also be leaving his Senate seat, right? So I don't know.
same thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, they have to clear out the... And besides, they don't like black people. They don't like women. You know, none of those Republican men like women. Yeah. So, you know, they can kill all those birds with one stone by... And plus, well, they're needling the president.
Right. If we didn't just finish this election cycle with this whole war on women, you're right, this might be coming off differently. But, you know, we did. And it does seem like they're just picking on her for no apparent reason. As the president said, she was not involved at all.
She wasn't. But I don't think you can say that all Republican men don't like women.
Oh, some of them like them entirely too much for paying attention to the recent scandals.
And Charlie Crist really, really, really likes them.
Oh, my goodness.
Leave Charlie alone.
Jenny.
He's on our side.
He's on our side now.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, honey.
Two things. First of all, get somebody to pull up the ladder because apparently Fox News has discovered our clubhouse.
Yeah,
and I don't like that. And second of all, oh my gosh, you guys are totally wrong on this secession thing. We've got to encourage this.
Oh.
We've got to let those people go visit their money offshore, but they have to... as the banking industry says, pay a substantial early withdrawal fee if they're going to take their money
out.
There you
go.
Somebody posted a whole thing online about how the directions to Somalia, where it's a paradise.
It's a libertarian paradise.
Libertarian paradise.
Yes,
no gun control, no government.
Stuff.
Right.
This is wonderful. I think this will work out well for us. And also, I think they were so worried that Armageddon would start if... Obama was elected, that they don't realize that here we're going to have an advantage, too, because after the rapture...
Yes, all right. Back with some more salacious allegations in this whole military thing. Scandal, next.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
I admire your loyalty. You've had that hairstyle forever. You don't care that it's out of fashion. You stick with it.
Oh, what?
I'm here. I'm just reading about Cher's latest Twitter war with Donald Trump.
Oh, isn't that awesome?
Okay. Oh, it's awesome. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of awesome, that's when I'll need my Jackie.
It's Shaq.
Thank you.
Again.
Okay, everybody, gather over the back fence again. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
All right, so you, we cannot get enough of the Petraeus scandal.
News keeps breaking, like, by the hour. This is awesome.
It looks like the local reporters are digging into it. So
okay.
That's where this good latest news looks like it's coming from.
you sent me this. Did Charlie Crist once date Jill Kelly's sister?
He says no.
Reached by phone. Chris said, consider the source. Didn't happen. I may have met her.
I think the world says no. What?
No.
Computer says no.
Although I will say Charlie Crist does not have the best history of being totally upfront about his personal affairs.
Really?
In my estimation.
You don't say.
Flying. He says he met Jill Kelly and her...
Don't get me going on the Charlie Crist thing. I've been all over that for years.
Chris said he met Jill Kelly and her husband and retired General David Petraeus and his wife Holly for dinner at Burns Steakhouse. He said Jill Kelly had arranged the dinner. Asked what he thought of Jill Kelly. Chris said, I think she's a delightful person.
Okay.
All right.
Delightful. Okay. I don't.
And then, a little noncommittal.
Yeah.
Fine.
Did you know
delightful.
She was?
Well, he was a bachelor for a long time. Speaking of noncommittal. Now.
Did you know that she was born in Beirut?
I did not.
Yes. She and her brothers.
Huh. Okay.
Yep.
All right. This is the more salacious one from the Tampa Bay Times, Jackie Schechner.
Yes.
Police calls to Jill Kelly's mansion include sister's pornography, abuse, and stalking claims.
Pornography? Wait a minute. Who is
acting
this?
Is in better this? Than yes. Desperate Housewives of Tampa.
Was watching it.
Was this producing pornography or consuming
it? Could you wait till I get to the details?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
No, but his speculation is really good. I like when Chris guesses.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
You just start hitting me with shrapnel of
death. Were there like, costumes? What?
Were there furries involved? What?
Everybody. I am the keeper of the information here. Okay. Natalie Kwam, is that how you say her name?
Kwam.
Jill Kelly's sister.
Kwam.
Yeah. She called Tampa police regularly in the past 3 years to report domestic abuse, internet pornography, and stalking while she was staying with her sister, Jill Kelly. In June 2010, she told police that she was made to watch pornography by Grayson Wolf, her husband, her then-husband.
Hmm.
She believes that what she saw was the girls were very young, and some of the girls did not have breast tissue, which makes her believe the girls were very young and not of age.
Oh,
In June 2010, Kwam told police that a stranger had been at the residence numerous times videotaping the home, pointing the camera through the windows and banging on doors.
Wow.
The individual is one of two people who have been following her and coming to her residence and harassing her. The report states she believes the subjects have been hired by her soon-to-be ex-husband, the porn watcher, to make a third-party contact and harass her on their pending divorce. A judge overseeing the couple's custody battle referred several times in court to a document to many of Kwam's claims of domestic violence, saying, quote, they are so patently incredible and so obviously fabricated that it raises serious concerns in the court mind, not only about Ms. Kwam's credibility as a witness, but also what appears to be her fundamental lack of integrity. Oh, dear.
Hmm.
Ms. Kwam appears to lack any appreciation or respect for the importance of honesty and integrity in her interactions with family, employers, and others with whom she comes into contact. Jill Kelly, the woman who reportedly received threatening emails, was also complained that she was receiving threatening phone calls. Wow, this is just...
What's the threshold where you can just say, I don't believe anything these Kelly ladies say?
I think we've reached that threshold.
Yeah, can you cross over that line?
Yeah.
It is like a Kardashians episode meets Desperate Housewives. It's
now, crazy. You know what? The Kardashians have some class compared to this, I think.
Who knew we would
ever... quite the
kind of a low bar.
I mean, if you're going to accuse somebody of watching child porn, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You've got to be pretty sick to accuse somebody of doing that if there's no...
Yeah.
If there's no foundation for it.
Yeah, this whole story.
Well, look
at
the whole Elmo thing. You know, that those allegations almost destroyed that actor's life.
Yeah. I mean, that's really going...
Yeah, it is.
How can I go as far as humanly possible? I mean, that's really unacceptable.
All right, let's talk about the share Twitter war, shall we?
Do you know
by
about
the way,
this?
I do like allegations when somebody says I was forced to watch porn. Like when you tied down and your eyes were slotted open like Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange, right. Yeah.
No, turn it off!
Is there a rat mask involved? Is there a rat mask?
No, wrong movie.
That's a different movie entirely.
That was 1984.
Right!
And Lillian Gish.
Sure. And Scooby-Doo. Jackie.
And her famous Gish Gallop.
Yeah.
Listen, everything's all melding together on this show. Okay, so 465,000 had signed the petition for Macy's to fire Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You're fired.
And Cher, I guess, decided to jump in. Did you see this?
I did not see this. This sounds fascinating.
I love a good Cher Twitter war. I don't know about you.
I am all for getting rid of Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. She said, I'll never go to Macy's again. I didn't know they sold Donald Trump's line. She said, if they don't care that they sell products from a loudmouth racist cretin.
Oh, Donald.
Good word. who lie like his rug to get some cheap press. I can't believe Macy's thinks he's the right man to represent their name. So, of course, Trump, I know this will shock you, Jackie, he responded.
Oh, on Twitter? Really?
Yes.
He uses the Twitter?
He said Cher should spend more time focusing on her family and dying career.
Dying?
What?
Oh, snap.
She's about ready to release a new album.
Yeah.
I hear it's very good.
Right. Trump continued saying, I don't wear a rug, it's mine. And promise not to talk about your massive plastic surgeries that didn't work. This says gay gasp.
Well, from Instinct magazine, so yeah.
Yeah. Cher didn't take that pot shot lightly, came back with a final blow, saying, to set the record straight, I took a cheap shot at Trump's hair. I was wrong. However, he is a flaming... Macy's dumps in flaming hole for the win, according to Instinct magazine.
Trump's taking credit for that bad hair.
I got Clash coming out my flaming leap hole.
Yeah. I every time we talk about Trump, Jackie Shumlin sends me a different picture of him in the wind.
Yes.
I didn't need another reason to love Cher, but now I have one.
Yeah. Do you follow her on Twitter? She's awesome.
I have not followed her on Twitter, but I'm a kind of a dork with who I follow on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of political reporters.
Yeah, you follow Wolf Blitzer.
A lot of news.
We'll have to leave it there.
Not a lot of celebrities, but I will follow her now that you say that she's good on
because,
Twitter.
Because she is still tweeting by the time we get up in the morning, Jackie.
I would quit this to be like her Twitter assistant just to tell her what stuff, you know. What? Wow. He said Trump should what? No. That'd be my job is I would just run in with the Twitter information. All right. The Macy's things is awesome. They signed a petition urging Macy's to sever ties with him. The letter cites his especially unpleasant, nasty, and despicable behavior, accuses the star of spreading lies about President Obama. He's, and also global warming. I'd missed this one. After Hurricane Sandy, he declared that global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive.
What?
Okay.
Dummy. Oh, they also made a good point. The petition also paints him as a sexist hypocrite, you think?
A little bit.
Personally attacks women he disagrees with by calling them unattractive, ugly, or fat. And it complains about jobs being shipped overseas, despite the fact that almost his entire clothing line sold at Macy's is made
in China.
Oh, just...
it's because I got too much class for them.
Yeah.
I'm a major class hole.
It's coming out of your flaming hole. All right, and Jackie, one more for you.
Okay.
I just have because I have another obsession. You know what it is. It's Diane Sawyer videos. I cannot stop watching.
It's like cat videos.
Oh, it is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Insiders blame her on-air antics.
Yes.
That's what they're calling
them. Oh, I see.
On the pressure she's feeling over rumors that she's facing the act and that acts in the Good Morning America host George Stephanopoulos will replace her. That's
I hope not.
I know. And how much you want to bet she can't say Stephanopoulos when she's...
Stephanopoulos!
Oh, no, I hope not.
I mean,
she's a class act
I like
in that
her.
Regard.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I do too!
I hope not. I don't think we need any more. I mean, no knock on George, but we don't need any more white men right now. Like, it's nice to have a little bit of diversity there.
Jackie Schechner, that's it. Close the door. There's no more white men involved.
No, I mean, she's got
no
a
room
spot.
At the end.
I like that. I like having a woman at the helm from time to time. That's sort of a nice thing.
No, she is. She's great. And as someone that, you know, tips a little Chardonnay myself, I say rock on. You know what? If we do another special on Current, in honor of Diane Sawyer, I'm going to wear a wine hat right during the...
Hey, look, it's the news business. I mean, you want to talk about the prevalence of alcohol in the news business?
Yeah, right.
Do tell, Jackie Schechner. Tell some old CNN stories.
Yes, you've worked at some networks.
I have. I'm just saying, we like to let loose at the end of the day.
Radio, are you kidding? I've worked with a long line of drunks in my...
In radio, they don't see you drink. You can about glug, glug, glug while the mic's open.
You know how many morning shows I've done where they went to the Billy Goat Tavern right after the show ended at 9 o'clock and stayed there all day?
When
Please.
They offered you the show on Current, was that the moment you said, okay, now we can't drink in the studio?
No.
Actually, that was a consideration.
No, we haven't changed a thing. Okay. Jackie Schechner, you are delightful and completely sober as far as I know.
Yeah, well, that's what we know.
All right. Love you.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Too.
Bye.
See you. Oh, I forgot I have one more celebrity stack. Reason 6,533 why I don't have children. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie let their kids throw food at each other at pizza parlors.
Wow.
That nice. Sounds like fun? Huh, that sounds like so much fun.
Gee, I can't wait to go to Chuck E. Cheese now.
Oh. According to this report, they let them run wild at a local pizza parlor in Brad's hometown of Springfield, Missouri. The place shuts down for the entire night. The kids raise a ruckus. That's what people that like kids call it, a ruckus.
If they bought the place out and it was only the Pitt Jolie children playing...
They'd jump on tables and throw food at each other.
Wow. And they have like 17,000 kids,
yeah, they
right?
Like yeah, they have like 7,000. That sounds like great fun. Okay.
Yikes. I think they make them just like rent the entire restaurant.
Yeah, well, that's what the story said.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So you wouldn't bother other patrons
with the
roughhousing.
As a childless loser, perhaps I shouldn't posit. Is that a good idea to encourage your children to throw food at each other?
No.
Just saying. Okay. It's like Animal House 24/7, I guess. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. By the way, we were just talking about Donald Trump saying his latest dummy thing about global warming that it's invented by the Chinese.
Invented by the Chinese to make us look bad.
Hey, guess what? Donald, the time of the dummy is over with, in case you hadn't heard the news from the election.
I want to see the Chinese birth certificates. Make sure they're born in China.
Climate change, suddenly a hot topic again. The issue resurfacing. Carbon tax. Oh, no. We talked about this. The whole issue of climate change was absent mostly until Hurricane Sandy hit, and then we had Michael Bloomberg jump in, endorse the president based on that issue. Andrew Cuomo has been talking a lot about this. Speaking of big names, Vice President Al Gore.
I've heard of him.
What does he have to say about global warming?
He launched a 24-hour online talk fest about global warming and disasters. Mm-hmm. He said Mother Nature is speaking very loudly and clearly. The laws of physics do apply, and when we put 90 million tons of global warming pollution into the atmosphere every day, it traps a lot of heat. It's good. I'm glad that this has come to the fore again.
Exactly what was predicted.
Yeah.
Sandy was exactly
yes.
what. Yeah.
Yeah, Gore said he's been pushing a carbon tax for decades, but his idea is not to use the money to lower the deficit, but to reduce payroll taxes in a revenue-neutral way. We should tax what we burn, not what we earn.
Yep.
And I don't say that just because I'm on his network. It's because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. And he was right! Wow!
And think how much better the world would have been if they'd counted the votes in 2000.
Yeah, exactly. Is the president just... How much do you love the headline, Obama nominates out gay black judge?
Yeah.
Fred Robben. So the remaining teabaggers that have not already lost their... have now done so.
Yeah, they're going to secede from the planet now.
The White House announced President Obama, just out of the United States, may not be far enough. He's nominated Judge William Thomas, an out gay man, to serve at the United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida. In a statement, Obama noted the diversity of Thomas and six other nominees, saying, "They represent my continued commitment to ensure that the judiciary resembles the nation that it serves." Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, my God.
What was that sound? Oh, that was Limbaugh's head exploding.
What was that?
That was more like a... Yeah.
Yeah, I...
a pétard.
I've got to go over some. I know we've been talking about this all morning, but I've got to go over some of the details of what Mitt Romney actually said yesterday because it's just. It is so. I guess we should be happy politically because he is so out of touch and in denial, which is why he just lost in a landslide. But the headline is Romney blames loss on Obama's gifts to minorities and young voters. I mean, this is what we were saying. He didn't mean it when he took back his 47% comments. He went on and on and on in that video, that secret videotape. We have some of it here.
What the president's campaign did was focus on certain members of his base coalition, give them extraordinary financial gifts from the government, and then work very aggressively to turn them out to vote.
And by the way, this is why they are not going to win if they keep, because he's now, there's no difference between him and the lunatic fringe like Rush Limbaugh. That's exactly what he said. Santa Claus, you can't beat Santa Claus. Who's gotten free stuff? Anybody you know?
Nope.
Saying he and his team still felt troubled by his loss. He attributed his... I mean, this just sounds so sore losery, first of all, doesn't it?
Slug somebody? He's probably trying to hit somebody. Yeah. Doesn't matter who.
Attributed his defeat to what he called big policy gifts the president bestowed on young voters, African Americans, and Hispanics. He said that the president followed the old playbook of using targeted initiatives to woo specific interest groups, especially the African-American community, the Hispanic community, and young people.
Mm.
Maybe he just has policies that appeal to a lot more people than yours do. Right?
No, that can't be. No. Corporations are people, my friend. The trees are the right height.
Mr. Romney contrasted Mr. Obama's strategy to his own of talking about big issues for the whole country. Military strategy, foreign policy, strong economy. Okay, you lost.
Yeah.
He still is trying to defend, like, his campaign. He wouldn't admit that they did anything wrong. He said his people ran a magnificent campaign.
Magnificent. Big and magnificent. It was just the right height.
Big and, yes, apparently. This came right after, as we mentioned, Paul Ryan blamed the loss on too many people voting in urban areas.
Nudge.
Racist, both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Romney essentially said because he gave brown people free stuff. And Ryan's unbelievable. Right. Yeah, you know, urban places like Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know what those people are like.
Let's see. With regards to young people, for instance, forgiveness of college loan interest was a big gift. Yeah, he decided that instead of giving a gift to the big banks again.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, he's talking about policies that make good sense. Not just, I mean, free contraceptives were very big with young college-age women.
Oh, my God.
Again, it's like it's
pathetic.
This close to what Rush Limbaugh said. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're all sluts, obviously.
Sluts want
yeah.
free
yeah,
birth
sure.
control.
Free birth control
and
to
then
all the sluts.
Finally, Obamacare made a big difference. For, yeah, that's why it was a good idea when you passed Massachusetts. Because, as you know, anyone 26 years of age, it's like, so he's saying it's not fair that the president came up with a really great health care plan just like his that appealed to people?
That's suppressing the vote, according to Karl Rove.
Yeah. Obama's plan didn't even go as far as Romney Care went.
He said the president's health care plan was also useful in mobilizing black and Hispanic voters. Again, no one's getting free health care.
No.
It's a plan just like the one you implemented. You can imagine for somebody making $25,000, $30,000, or $35,000 a year, I've heard some people make that. Isn't that hilarious?
That's
being told
money.
You're now going to get free health care, particularly if you don't have it. I mean, first of all, this is, again, a lie. His whole campaign was based on lies. And
I love he lied.
Oh, I mean, this is huge. Likewise, with Hispanic voters, free health care is a big plus.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Yes. But in addition, with regards to Hispanic voters, the amnesty for children of illegals, he's still using it. Even Republicans now are realizing they got to stop using these kind of words. The so-called Dream Act, kids, oh, that was a huge plus. Well, yeah, because it's the right thing to
it's
do.
It's a nightmare act. See what I did there?
He said, I'm very sorry we didn't win. I know you expected to win. We expected to win. We were disappointed with the result. We hadn't anticipated it.
Neither did Dick Morris. With us.
And it was very close.
No one
says no.
No.
And now we're looking and saying, okay, what can we do going forward? Oh, you even borrowed the slogan. What can we do going forward? Frankly, we're still so troubled by the past, it's hard to put together our plans for the future. He added he was hoping to find a way for the group, I love this, to stay connected so that we can stay informed and have an influence on the direction of the party and perhaps the selection of a future nominee. Yeah, that's who you want, is the guy that just lost in a landslide to advise you on what you should...
Right.
Here's what you should
do.
Which
he said, by the way, will not be me, which must have been a disappointed
that's
a sigh.
Crushing.
Oh, he suggested an annual meeting as well as a monthly newsletter.
Oh!
Yeah, that'll fix it.
A newsletter.
To keep everybody connected that lost in the landslide. Just, what you doing? What you thinking about?
Wow.
A month meetings and a month to discuss what? Once again, why they lost in a landslide?
Do people even publish newsletters anymore?
Oh, yes, binders of them do. Let's have a newsletter and some coffee clatches. All right.
You know, condo associations produce newsletters.
Right. I guess we have to hope for less sane Republicans. Jindal says Romney Gift's argument absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're trying to wrest the party from mittens now in the wake of their bloodbath. All right, that's it for us. We will see you tomorrow. Happy Friday on the Stephanie Miller Show.